Now you have the material for construction. And I'm going to read now from my book on Ephesians, Exploring Through Ephesians. I would also like to say concerning this book that what I'm giving now is not in our notes and outline. This book goes into detail, and we will send this to those who have part in our radio ministry. Now, friends, we have to make it that way. I was rather amused the other day listening to a friend of mine who has a radio program, and he says all of our material is free. Well, fine. I'm delighted he can afford to send it out. We cannot. But he ended the plea by saying, and we hope when you order the material, you'll enclose an offering. Well, we hope so too, by the way. We live in hope, and he lives in hope. I think that was quite proper for him to say that. Now, will you notice verses 1 and 2 here, and I'm reading from my translation, and somebody says, oh my, not another translation, and I want to say the same thing. I do not recommend my translation at all. I've used it for years here in Southern California, and it's known out here as the McGeachus ad absurdum translation. I don't recommend it. Don't recommend my own at all. And I haven't attempted to really translate. What I've attempted to do is just to pull the original words over into the English that you might maybe get a little different viewpoint. I don't recommend it as a translation, but I hope you'll follow along and notice this. And you being dead in your trespasses and in your sins. Now somebody says, wait a minute, you left out, hath he made alive or quickened? Well, that's not in the original. And you'll notice that in your Bible, it's in italics. And it's put in there to smooth out the translation. And I'm perfectly willing to admit that it belongs there, or something belongs there to give explanation, and it's all right. But as I said, I'm trying to pull out the original and give you the meaning here without attempting to make a smooth translation. And you, being dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the age, or the spirit of the age, that is according to secularism, according to the way of the world, according to the principle of this world, that is the principle of the world, that doesn't mean the physical universe. It means the cosmos, the society, the civilization that we're in, our life pattern, if you please, our lifestyle, the lifestyle of the world today, according to the prince of the power, that is the authority of the air. And you can translate that by the haze or the smog of the spirit that now worketh, that is, energizes in the sons of disobedience. The devil takes this dead material that we're dead in trespasses and sins, and he energizes it. And that's the reason that these cults are as busy as termites, and with the same result. They're busy. That's the reason false religion, friends, puts us to shame, because Satan is energizing it. Somebody says to me, you know that, they tell me miracles are being performed in this cult. I won't argue that. Maybe they are. I know a lot of this is exaggeration, but who's doing it? That's the thing I want to know. And Satan is able to duplicate a great many of the miracles that are scriptural miracles. After all, wasn't the magicians down in Egypt able to duplicate Moses' miracles at first? There came a day when they couldn't, of course. When you get into the realm of the new birth and you begin to get close to God, then Satan is powerless there. But long as it's to delude and to deceive people and lead them astray, the devil is potent today, and he's potent in these cults and isms of the world. Now, a trespass is the thing Adam did. That's the word used of his sin. That which he did, he stepped over God's bound. And sins means just to miss the mark. We just don't come up to God's standard at all. And that's our condition, by the way, dead in trespasses in sin, and yet energized by Satan. In other words, the unsaved man's walking around this world like a spiritual zombie. He's dead in trespasses and sins. And now we're told here, in times past, ye walked according to the course of the world. That is, you walked according to the age, or the spirit of the age, and of this world. And that means the society that we're in, what we call civilization today, the lifestyle, and according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh or energizes the sons of disobedience. Now, Satan leads these folk around as he led all of us around. Now, what does it mean to walk according to the spirit of the age of this world? Well, I recognize that today we hear a great deal about separation. And most of this talk on separation means that you get away from that which is fleshly or carnal and godless. But may I say to you that this lost world is characterized by certain mental and spiritual sins that are actually, I think, in God's sight, worse than the physical sins. Listen to James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, there are a great many folk that come to church on Sunday, and they're as pious as a church mouse, and however pious a church mouse is. But, oh my, they talk about being a separated Christian. And believe me, Monday morning they start out in this old rough workaday world just as mean and hard and after the almighty dollar as much as anyone else is. And they want it to consume on their own selves, their own selfishness. Now, I know this is strong medicine, and a great many folk don't like to hear it, but there are a lot of Christians living just like this today. James, who's very practical, mentions this. Now, friends, this is the thing we've been saved from. Now, John put it like this in 1 John 2, 15 and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in it. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, there are a great many people that today are not living in sin, they say. They say, no, I would not commit these sins. And I wouldn't live and act like certain people do. The question is this. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan asked the question like this. He said, would you like to? Is that the reason that you like to see a TV program where it shows them living it up today? Because, you know, we do these things vicariously. I've always felt that the reason that the story of the prodigal son is so popular, the way that some preach it today is, you notice the Lord Jesus never mentioned any of the sins that boy committed when he was in the far country. But I've heard sermons in which you went from one nightclub to another, from one bar room to another, from one brothel to another, and you know the saints really enjoyed that sermon because they sat there and sinned vicariously. Would you like to live there? That's what John's talking about. Love not the world. Do you really love it? How do you feel about it? I remember the first time Ms. McGee and I came to California. We were just, you know, fresh out of Texas. In fact, I'd never seen a body of water. I couldn't throw a rock over it before till I came out here. And we were amazed at the ocean, and we saw it from San Diego, all drove up the coast to Los Angeles. What a thrill. Then we drove from here up to San Francisco, and they were having that Treasure Island affair. She and I went over. We had a wonderful day, I must admit. And though that was the bright lights on those colored walls, and then there was the soft music, it was beautiful. And that night when we left, we got on the ferry, and we went up on top. We were country. Well, we wanted to see the whole thing. And we sat there and looked back at that, and into the fog, that Treasure Island began to fade away, and the music began to die out. And I said to my wife, I said, I've had one of the most pleasant days today I ever had. I sure have enjoyed it. But I said, if right now Treasure Island disappeared and this bay went in under, and that was it, I wouldn't shed a tear, because I don't love anything that's over there. And then I added this, I hope that I can have that kind of an attitude to the world today. A great many folk that talk today about the rapture of the church, and it's a wonderful thing to talk about, but really, I have a feeling some of them are really going to weep when they leave this world because they're so wrapped up in it. They're wrapped up in a job, wrapped up in a business, wrapped up in a home, wrapped up in some club, wrapped up in a worldly church. And, oh, they won't want to go because of the fact all of that's going to be changed. Well, this is strong medicine. Maybe it's a little too strong for you today. Now, I'm showing that the other apostles talked along this line. Simon Peter wrote in 2 Peter 2:14 and 15, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, this is a picture of the lost world. Do you somehow or another fit into this, child of God? Well, maybe this is enough of this. Now, according to the prince of the authority of the haze of the spirit that now energizes in the sons of disobedience, you can't serve God and mammon. You've got to choose, Christian friend, who you're going to serve. And if you're serving God, it doesn't mean that you just don't go to picture shows and you don't use makeup and you don't... And don't misunderstand, I don't agree with that type of separation, but that's what I hear today. And that you don't do this and that, and you don't associate with certain men that associate with liberals. That's not separation. That's absurd to talk like that. And then yourself, to have eyes so filled with bitterness and hatred and selfishness. My friend, those are the gross sins, by the way. Oh, I better move on because I'll lose my audience.